I am the queen of bad jokes.
Good.
Yeah. And you'll fit in perfectly here.
Welcome to another episode of Lost in Omaha. Live in Studio 1A, from the 37th floor of the Bodkin Tower, with your hosts Mike and Sam, this week's guest, Modest K, and remember, have fun and do cool shit.
What's up everybody, it's Mike Fantastic with Lost in Omaha. Today I am here with my lovely and talented co-host.
Am I lovely today?
You're always lovely.
Oh,
you have
thanks,
skin
buddy.
Like cinnamon.
It's Sam.
And the best hype man in the business.
The Alpha and the Omega.
His name is?
Morgan.
Morgan, how are you, buddy? How are you?
Fucking awesome.
That's good.
Can we just call him Mighty Mo? He's a vegetarian.
Isn't Mighty that Mary Mo?
Oh, that's right. It is.
It could be Mighty Mo. Whatevs.
He's a Hungarian. Mighty Mo, Mighty Mo.
Today, Hungarian. On this installment of Lost in Omaha, we are with the lovely, the talented, the wonderful Kayla Modest K. Haywood.
Yeah.
What up?
Got to add that on there now.
She's a wonderful poet, a rapper, a mom, a wife.
So we're going to talk about you. You ready to get to
okay.
know you?
You ready?
I guess.
Are you scared?
Are you story?
I'm ready.
Okay, well, tell us about you then. What kind of kid were you like? Were you a bad kid? Were you a good kid? Were you a nerd? Were you a cool kid? Did you punch other kids in the face?
When I was a kid, I don't know. I think I was just weird. I think I was not a nerd, but I wasn't cool.
How were you weird?
I think that the fact that I never wanted to conform to like any one group of friends or like fashion or like really anything. I just kind of did what I wanted. And I think that that weirded people out. And so, like, I really didn't have a lot of friends. But the friends that I did have, like, I kind of, like, collected from all of the little social groups at my high school. I had, like, one popular person, one nerd, one, like, I would just take from each place and then form my own little group. And then I would never, that way I would never commit myself to,
You were selective, like a friend buffet.
So you were a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
A little bit. I just kind of, you know, I didn't want to be stuck and have a label. And like, I was the kind of girl who could come to school in like JNCO jeans and like my big skater shoes and like look like a total stoner. And then the next day be in a dress and like wear high heels and like
and look like a total stoner.
And look like a total stoner. No. I don't know. But I never wanted to. So, like, one day I would be goth. One day I would be prep. One day I would be skater. One day I just did what I wanted.
You're just dipping your toes.
You're a chameleon.
And, like, I was. I tried. And, like, it really bothered some people.
Really?
Like, there were people that were, like, very vocal against me.
I bet you they called you a poser a lot, huh?
No.
Really?
Yeah. They just, like...
They were just like, Kayla, you're a dick for having
I don't
friends
know.
Or what?
They just thought I was weird. Like, there was this one girl, like, she always, like, sat in front of my locker every morning.
Like, what grade was this?
This is, like, junior year, maybe.
Okay.
It might have been sophomore year. I actually do not remember.
So I'll say your teenage years,
so.
Just to be safe.
Yes, I was a teenager. I was in high school. And this girl would sit in front of my locker every morning. And so, like, every morning I'd have to ask her to, like, move so that I could get into my locker and, like, put my shit away.
Yeah.
And, like, I would, you know, I don't like confrontation. I've never been, like, one to, like, seek out attention or like seek out a fight or, you know, whatever. And like, and I just asked her, I was like, you know, like I have to ask you every morning, like, could you just maybe not sit in front of my locker? Just like sit over like one, you could just move over.
Move to the left, bitch.
Like about 6 inches. Mm-hmm. And like, and she was like, I don't know why you have to be such a bitch. And I was like, at that point I was like, I just snapped at that point. I was just like, if you're here tomorrow morning, I will kick you in the fucking face with my steel-toed boots. I had a pair of silver steel...
Buddy Ravel over there.
Yeah,
I just, you know, like I had this silver pair of Doc Martin steel-toed boots. Mm-hmm. And I would wear them all the time. And I think that people were intimidated by them because, like, I told her that. I was like, if you're here, I will kick you in the face with these boots.
Like you should have.
Me.
And she...
You. 3 o'clock.
Oh my god. Fight. It was like meet me at the flagpole, but it was like 7:50 in the morning, you know? And I was just like, I'm so sick of your shit. I was like, you don't know shit about me. She's like, she was talking about like it's people like you that she was like saying this whole thing about how I was like a certain demographic that like inflicted some kind of like, I don't know, just like made the world a worse place.
Who is this horrible bitch?
What grade is this?
Get, let's name
I'm
names.
Telling you, this is like Fuck this is her. Like junior year.
Yeah, what's her first name? You don't have to call her out, but just call her out.
I can't say her name.
Oh, that's fair enough. You know
I can't
what?
I can't say her name because
I'm gonna call her Veronica. Veronica, you're a bitch.
Let's go Clarissa, Veronica?
Veronica.
I'm not gonna I can't say her name or anything, and actually it's, fine. It's kind of weird because like RIP.
Oh. You I don't killed wanna, her with I your steel-toed boot?
I didn't kill her.
You stopped her face in.
Dude, what the fuck,
holy
man?
Shit.
I did not kill
modest
her.
Modest K, not so modest.
She is no longer living, so, I mean, maybe karma is a thing, but, like, it was...
karma
it,
killed her.
It, I don't know. you know, shit. I'm sure it wasn't.
I did not
it was
expect
a horrible
the
accident.
To start this way.
I'm sorry.
The Grim Reaper. She collects friends and souls.
With steel-toed boot
I really
murder.
Didn't. No, I really did. I mean, this was like
put
years
your mouth
later.
In the locker, bitch.
No, this was years and years later that she passed away. But like, it was just.
Or was it?
It was, and it was very sad.
Did they find her years later after you stuffed her in your locker?
No, no.
That's fine.
I'm pretty sure like an ATV fell on her or something.
Oh God,
that was awful. Accident. Wow,
that yeah. sounds fucking horrible.
Or something. I honestly have no idea. How
but
she
did
died.
She? Did she move? Or was she
yeah, she wasn't
for,
there
oh,
the next day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so no, case
she,
closed.
Okay. Oh, yeah. She took the fucking hint.
All right, good.
Like, I didn't have to resort to any violence because
speaking
I am
not. Speaking
of the not... hint. She also took the fucking ATV to the fucking dome.
God, Morgan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry.
All right, well, I wanted to dial the clock back just a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we're going like, to edit okay. that, too.
Well, we're not going to edit that. Segment. I mean, that's a good story. I want to know what you were like a little tyke. Like were you
okay.
running around outside playing with the kids?
Okay. All
were
right.
you like personally me?
Are you in Omaha first yeah. off?
Yes.
Are you an Omaha native?
Born and raised.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up on 46th and Harrison.
All right.
Yes, South Omaha for
you southest of Omaha.
Mm. Yes. That was from birth until third grade. The beginning of third grade.
Yeah. And where'd you go to school? Grade school.
Well, when I was in kindergarten to second grade, I was at Pawnee Elementary.
Okay.
And third grade, I was bused to Kellum in North
Everyone's
Omaha.
Everyone's busking. Strong out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the you know, the times.
Yeah.
They bust third grade. So.
Easier second or third.
It yeah. was, yeah. It was third for me. And because Pawnee, they just didn't have one. So. They bust, and then, like 6 weeks in, my parents moved to Ralston, so, and then I transferred.
Is this in third grade when you transferred?
Third grade.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you transfer to?
Meadows Elementary.
All right.
In Ralston.
So you have been to several grade schools. Now see, you and I have this in common. I went to several grade schools mm-hmm. as well. It's not an easy thing.
No, it's
not
hard.
An easy thing, and it, yeah.
And it sucks that my son is experiencing the same thing.
Yes.
I really hate that for him. I wish that, like, I just want to, like, settle down somewhere. Like, find our, like, plan our roots so that he can not have to do that. Because it sucks so
yeah.
bad finding new friends every time.
You got time. Junior high,
yeah,
high school, that'll be dope.
I know.
That's kind of when it matters.
Yeah. yeah.
That's when you
yeah.
start forming those lifelong relationships.
But I was a tomboy. For sure. I climbed trees. I played basketball with the neighborhood boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had younger brothers, and they got picked on. So I had to not be a bully, but be like a defender mm-hmm. for the little guys.
You were one of them sisters that I was always afraid of, the oldest sister. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get my sister. Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to the house. She's mean.
Time, fuck you, Kyle. Yeah. I'm going to the house.
At the same time, though, like, I was like that, but at the same time, I was very shy. And, like, but I could make friends with anyone. It was kind of like, I didn't talk to you until I really knew you type thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was very outspoken. It just kind of just depended on the social situation. I was very good at manipulating the situation in a way so that I felt comfortable. And I still do that. And actually, it's not something that I'm proud of. So I'm like, it's something that I want to work on personally. But like retrospectively, like I see like what I did as a kid, and I'm just like, why was I thinking like that as a kid? You know,
the seeds were planted.
It was, because there was a lot of things going on. A lot of trauma also happened in my childhood. So there's like, I don't know. It just makes you wonder about like nature versus nurture and stuff like that. But as a kid, I loved playing outside. And I had like my little gang of neighborhood friends that I hung out with, and
this is all you're the exact same person you were in third grade.
I'm the exact same person I was in third grade. No.
So during this time, no. do you have any recollections of like your first creative endeavor? Anything that you dove into? Were you drawing? Were you singing? Were you dancing? Were you doing karate?
I was always singing, always dancing. I loved the Spice Girls. My cousin and I like created dance routines and did all the typical like 90s, early 2000s, like the things that girly girls did, like put on shows and stuff for my parents. And
Spice Girl shows?
Spice Girls dancing, yeah.
Nice.
You crank the boombox and be like, check out my moves.
Yes.
Bam.
I saw Spice World 3 times in the theater.
That's weird.
Who's your favorite Spice Girl?
I've never seen it.
My favorite Spice Girl was...
Wait, let's do it 1, 2, 3 at the same time. Jenny. 1, 2, 3. Jerry.
Baby Spice. I was the innocent little girl. Like, that was me. I wanted to be like the little ditzy blonde. I think I hated...
That's what you wanted to be?
Yes, I think I hated being smart. Huh. I honestly think... And I'm realizing this more and more, like, as I get older, and a lot of it I see, like, from my son, like, just watching him, and, like, having children, like, is so insightful on your own life. Because I watch him, and I see me. And I think I had ADHD the whole time, and nobody fucking knew. And, like, there are things... Like, I somehow managed to keep my grades up and stay focused long enough to like, I mean, I graduated with honors. There was only 1 year where I really slacked off, but at the same time, I wasn't giving like 100% of my effort, because if I was, then I would have been like, I had a college reading level in like second grade. Okay.
So when you were really on something, you were really on.
Yeah.
Something,
and
right?
Very similar to Caden, how he is very, very smart, but he doesn't know how to apply it correctly.
Like,
and
he
doesn't have the
so there.
Right. And or his like laser focus is like misdirected. Mm-hmm. And that happens to me a lot. I'll like focus on something that I may not be necessarily what I need to be focusing on.
Sure.
But like it just happens. So I would say that, I don't know, me as a kid, I jumped around a lot. I compare, like, when I think about myself, I feel like I was more like a hummingbird. I just kind of flitted here and there and took what, you know, information I needed and then moved on. That's just how I was as a kid. I didn't really, like, I don't have any of my childhood connections. There's only one girl that I stay in contact with that lived in my neighborhood and I went to school with for a short period of time. But pretty much anyone from my childhood, I don't know anybody. I don't stay in contact with any of them.
Sure.
And then, like, I don't know, but that's kind of true, like, for high school. I don't keep in contact with any of those people. And even after high school, there's a lot of people I don't keep in contact with.
Do any of this?
No.
I don't really have
any. Is that normal? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know.
In this room it is.
I mean, I know three people, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And they're the three people I still are my homeboys.
I have, like, Levitt.
Yeah.
And that would cover it, I think. I have Levitt.
I haven't branched out for friendship. I'm just like, oh, these three people from high school, that's fine. I'm good. And then Mike.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So, other than that, though, I think I was pretty normal, pretty average, and a little later, you know, I was introduced to marijuana.
In like third grade?
Was that fourth grade? Or?
12.
Oh, 12. Oh, that was early. 12.
So sixth grade.
Yes.
Sixth, seventh grade. What hooligan friend at 12 years old is introduced
to
pots?
My first cigarette at 9.
First cigarette at 9?
Yes.
I'm a badass kid.
I had my cousin was a bad influence. She was like 2 years older than me.
So sure.
Did your cousin introduce you to the pots?
She did at 12, and then alcohol at 15.
Wow.
So let's talk about the pot story first.
Okay.
At 12.
Yeah.
So she's like, hey, Kayla, I got this joint. Try it.
It wasn't a joint.
What? I have this bong.
It was a gravity bong.
Wow.
I'm just saying that, like, it was Thanksgiving night.
Oh, I'm doing it classy.
It's a perfect time to hit gravity bong.
Well, all the cousins got together. Like, it was kind of like one of those things. It was like we all hung out all day at our grandma's house, and then we went back to her house, and we were hanging out, and she had her friends.
So grandma
over.
Was like, let me get out my gravity bong?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, my grandma was not for that. But my cousins...
That's going to be the kind of grandma I am.
My cousin's favorite.
Right?
I don't know. My mom's side of the family, there's quite a few, like, marijuana users.
Okay.
Closeted or not.
So she breaks out the
But at 12 years old,
bong.
Though.
Yes.
12. At 12.
It's, yes. And it's made out of an ice cream tub and a 1 liter bottle.
Wow.
Mountain
Sweet
bottle.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Some MacGyver.
Can you imagine being a 12-year-old fucking hitting that? I wouldn't even know. What was that like? Do you remember?
It was. I mean, I do. It was unlike anything I'd ever done before. I felt like I couldn't breathe, and then I threw up after. And then I was super high for hours and hours, and I think I probably passed out at some point.
So were you a fan of that? Or
but
you
then
like,
when
fuck
I
this.
When I like came to though, like I went upstairs and like I smashed on all the leftovers in the fridge because it was Thanksgiving, so there was tons. You
the
know,
perfect day.
It was the perfect day. my 12-year-old mind had I had no idea what was going on.
It was the perfect
day.
The
seed was planted.
You smoked the pot.
I did.
Now you're heading to junior high.
Yes.
Where'd you go to junior high?
Ralston Middle School.
Ralston Middle School.
Yeah.
Is that the Rams or is that that's the high school?
There's still the Rams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're at Ralston.
Yeah.
For seventh grade.
Yes.
Were you doing anything like playing soccer or show choir or anything like that?
I did choir and I was in band. I did clarinet.
Nice.
I played the clarinet for, I think it was just seventh and eighth grade.
So you talked about like dancing and singing when you were younger. So is there like an influence for that? Or are you just like, I feel this in my bones?
I don't know. I've always had a love for music. I've always felt music. I feel like from a deeper place. I have a lot of emotional connection to music. There are songs that will just like completely tear me down. I know I'm not the only person that like feels that deeply about certain songs or like has like memories or anything associated to songs, like everybody does. But at the same time, I don't necessarily have to have that emotional connection or a personal connection in order to feel that emotional connection. I can break a beat down. I can like focus on when I'm listening to a beat, like when I'm writing. And I can break it down so that I can hear each line of, like, you know, it's like layered. So sure. I listen for the layers and I break it down because, like, I don't know, that's just how my brain works. And so I think it helps me a lot, especially when.
So
I'm
you're just finding the pieces of the what they put together for the beat, and that's how you're.
Right. So, like, I feel like when I'm listening to something on the radio or if I'm listening through a playlist on Spotify, like, I can just, I hear, like, where it's like technically broken down, but then also compare, like combining that with the feeling in the person's voice and the meaning of the words and like contemplating like what their meaning is and like, you
right.
know,
you're, it's just, like a deep dive into like where their head is.
But it's
and...
every song, you know, and it's like, it can be exhausting having like an emotional, like almost like an empathetic connection with music, which is kind of, I don't know, that probably sounds super gay.
But so gay.
I'm just saying, like,
there's a lot of music.
I mean, there's two
though.
Guys.
There is
there's two
a lot.
Guys at this table. One guy sitting on the couch that perform music. You're so gay. We don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So my grandmother did play the piano, and she was a beautiful singer. Was she my influence? No, but she was a wonderful woman, and she was very talented. In fact, I am supposed to be getting her piano. My grandmother passed away, and before she passed away, well, before she moved out of her home into her, like, well, aftercare, her piano got moved to my aunt's house, and my uncle sold that house and to a cousin. It's like keeping it in the family, you know, all these right. houses, they're, you know, just properties that have been in our family for years and years and years. And he gifted me the piano. So cool. And my wedding gift was that he'll pay movers to like have a move.
Oh, cool.
And actually it's not even, it's kind of pretty close. We're in kind of the same neighborhood that the house is in. So and this piano is rumored to be signed by Liberace. So,
oh, cool.
I have no idea. My grandma, that was a big story with her. She always used to say that it was signed by Liberace.
Kayla? Kayla, this piano is signed by Liberace himself.
Yes.
Liberace. I don't know why your grandma sounds like this in my head. But I can just hear her telling you the story.
But she, I mean, she didn't sound like that, but she's like a little Jew, so.
Oh, so she kind of does sound a little
right,
bit like
right,
a Jewish woman. No, she didn't have like the scruffy voice. She had like the very soft, because she sang like an angel. She like, you know, she would, my grandmother was not a religious person, but she would join church choirs just so that she could sing.
She could sing.
She just wanted to sing. That's
so
all
that's
she
where
was.
That that's where that comes
and
from.
She was a very peaceful person. She was a massage therapist. She like wanted people to heal and like feel better. And so, like, she wanted to, like, sing to, like, uplift people.
Your grandma sounds rad.
Well, she was super rad.
What we need to do is open up some singing massage parlors.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sing to you in a massage. Like, uplift your spirits and your muscles.
Yes. Oh, that would be so great.
I'm just saying. Did you actually find out, like, you were good at singing via choir? Or did somebody, like, come off like, ah, you're a really good singer. You should do this.
No, it wasn't really like that. Actually, when I first started doing choir, show choir in high school, or in elementary, or so it was show choir started, I did all girls choir in middle school. And then when I went to high school, it was just like the regular choir and then, or like the show choir. But I guess I wasn't overly good. Like, my teachers were never, like, overly impressed. I would try out for musicals, and I would just get, like, chorus lines. Like, I never, like, excelled in singing. It wasn't, like, something that I was overly good at, even in high school. Like, I had a decent voice, but, like, I wasn't, like, star-like. You know, I wasn't, like... I don't, what are those even called? Like the star
the lead.
Actor. The lead, yes, thank you. Like the lead. I was not lead material. But I just kept trying. And I really got into high school. I was really into writing club. It also may have stemmed partially from like a really big crush on my English teacher.
Oh,
ran
here
the,
we go.
The writing
at Ralston,
club.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a huge crush on
so you're
Mr. Lacey.
Mr. Lacey at Ralston High.
She threw it out there.
Yeah. Super.
She
huge
threw it
crush.
Out there.
I mean, who?
Mr.
I mean, you can bleep it out if you want.
No,
Mr.
I'm not.
No, we're keeping
shout out to Mr. Lacey if you're listening.
No, but he did inspire me. He did like give me confidence to like to write. I used to write some very intense poetry, and I think that like there was one poem. I was like in a really, really bad, dark place. And I wrote this poem and I cannot remember the words, but the title was Self-Emancipation. And it was so like deep and dark within myself. I never, that poem got lost. it's gone. It was, I had it in a desk. It was folded up. Like, I had it in a like in a safe place. And, like, somehow it, like, fucking disappeared from my life. So I'm, like, I just tell myself that that happened for a reason. Sure. I'm just like, okay, well, that obviously was, like, not supposed to go anywhere. No one was supposed to see it. Like, it was just supposed to, like, I was supposed to get it out and get it the fuck away from me. Right. 'Cause that's basically what it was. It was, like, a suicidal ideation, like, type. But, like, at the same time, like, I came out of it okay. Like, in the poem, even.
Right.
But it was just, like, I don't
after you
know.
Let it escape.
I never let Mr. Lacey read that poem, because I didn't want to, like...
Make him nervous.
In case you were...
Yeah, I didn't want him to be like, let me call the counselor.
No. Just wait for me when I get out, Mr. Lacey.
No.
Don't worry about this poem. Wife me up! I get it.
Wife me up! That's what I'm just starting saying all the time. What's up? Wife me up, huh?
But yeah, so I wrote a lot, and that's where my writing passion started.
So is that just freshman year of high school, or like when did you join
my very
club?
First I might have been junior year. I was also a
ATV murder.
What?
Did you join the? Did you join?
That girl did not
die
pass
until
away until like several years later, until like way out of high school.
It's been clarified like a dozen times.
I didn't commit any crimes.
I mean, Kayla was out of town when that shit happened.
Right?
She has a fucking alibi. Everything.
Mr. Lacey.
I know.
Mr. Lacey, okay? You out there still?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay.
She
checked up on him.
No.
He's still out there.
No.
She
this is fine.
Exactly where he's at.
No.
97th and L. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going into high school.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Where are you at? Where's your head at?
In high school?
Sure. What are you thinking? You're starting it?
High school, that's where I really started like writing and expressing myself. Mm-hmm. And I had some interesting experiences in high school. My high school was under construction the entire time I was there.
And this is Ralston High?
Yeah.
Okay.
It started my freshman year. So Ralston used to be built out of circles. Like, all the hallways went in a circle. And, like, it was really fucking weird. Like, there was classrooms with no windows. Because they were, like, internal.
Because, yeah, the internal classes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they, like, had I had science class in the middle of a fucking circle. So it was, like, there were no windows to the outside, so it was just, like, really awkward lighting, like, really weird. It was kind of, like, I don't know.
Or she got arrested, and she was doing time
right.
in That's a penal colony
right.
for the ATV murder.
She's walking around like Hannibal Lecter.
I'm just kidding.
I swear people went crazy walking around those hallways, because you would
wild.
Get so fucking lost just because you would
bet.
Be, like, walking in yeah. circles and, like, trying to explain to someone, an outsider, who does not walk those halls
right.
every day.
It's like, in the inside of the circle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible.
It's in the ninth circle
so,
of hell.
Yeah, it was like, this, it was like the seven fuck? Circles of hell, I swear. But, like... Then they tore it all down and they started over. And now it's like a really, it's a nice building.
It's a lot of right angles now.
But it was never done. Like, it was not done my entire high school career. Like, it was under
Did you have a poem about the construction?
No.
Darn.
It wasn't that deep.
I didn't give that much of a fuck about it, Sam.
I mean, it was just annoying.
Okay.
Walking in circles all day?
Yeah, you kind of get, you get
No, the circles were gone after the first year. Like, the first year, like, that was really weird.
That is super weird.
It was a weird experience.
It reminds me of fucking...
Being, like, deprived of light. Weird. That was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've took care of it, so... Also, at the same time, as I'm, like, there and, like, trying to develop my artistry as a poet, I was also an athlete at the same time. So
sinking buckets?
I was a diver in high school.
What?
All 4 years. And I was
Deep
captain.
Sea?
No, no.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Like,
I know.
Springboard.
Yeah, I get it.
But
really?
1 meter diver. Yeah, and I was.
I didn't even know you swam, Kayla.
Yeah, I can swim.
We've been. We've been friends for years now, and I didn't know yeah. that. Like,
I'm out here making tiny splashes, bro.
Well, but yeah, like, it's everybody like, oh, let's go swimming, or yeah. like, we've been roommates. We have
yes.
We have family, children that we've never one time been like, oh, let's go swimming.
Yeah, we've never gone swimming.
Let's go diving. One meter.
Right, bro. This is a cool little thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did. And I was captain for my junior and senior year.
Damn.
So,
I did. You were captain of the fucking dive team?
Yes, I was.
Wow, yeah, dude.
I have medals and shit.
Did you go to like state and all that?
I did.
Did you win? Are you a state champion diver?
I placed 8th in state, so I didn't do very well.
You're like Justin as a wrestler, as a diver.
I know, we're like the same person.
This is so dope. I was like 8th in state, no big deal.
Yeah, no, I was though. I took 8th in state out of like 36 girls, and the thing about diving that people don't really know, because like there's not a lot of money in diving. I got a scholarship for college, but it was only like
$37.
I mean, it might as well have been $37. It was like barely enough to cover books for one semester.
What college offered you?
UNO.
Okay.
It was just because diving is not a huge spectator sport, right, so there's not a lot of money in it. And so they didn't offer very much. And like for me to go there and like do diving in college, I would have had to learn how to do something completely different, because in high school, it's a 1 meter board, but in college, it's a 3 meter board. So you're up 2 more meters higher than you're used to. Yeah. And so then you have to relearn everything because you got to time yourself differently. Right. So I'm
doing
like,
extra
flips
and I'm shit.
Like, well, you're offering me what, like $500 for books? And then like, but then I have to relearn everything I know and like hope that I'm good and like what's really going to come out of this. So I didn't do it. And I didn't go to college either. So
you just decided against college?
It wasn't really that I decided against it. It just kind of got away from me, I think. I like started working immediately after high school. My very first job was at Gamers.
Yeah!
Yes! My first job. In La Vista. Yeah.
Nice!
Adding to the legend of Kayla.
Yes. I worked at Gamers for a summer. It was the first job I ever had and the first job I ever got fired from.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Were you stealing Nintendo tapes?
No, what were you doing? I don't even remember what I did.
Just like
it was just something stupid and silly. I was like 14.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what it was. I think maybe I sold a video game that wasn't, or maybe I traded in something that shouldn't have been traded in or something. Because, you know, you can trade things in, you got to like test it out, and then you got to like shrink wrap it, which that was the funnest part of the whole fucking job, was shrink wrapping stuff. Yeah. Like, honest to God, that was like the funnest part. And like cleaning, fixing scratch CDs, that was one of my favorite things to do too, because you just like smear the shit all over it. And then you got to run it under the little pads that are spinning so fast, and you're just like, and then you're all done. And then I would just sit there and like fix CDs and shrink wrap shit.
It sounds like the most wonderful way to spend your day.
I had the best login because like you had to pick a name for the register, and it had to be a video game character. Mine was Kirby.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah. So I had Kirby.
It's the most perfect 14-year-old gamer girl.
Yes,
I thought Kirby.
So.
That's so you're working at Gamers.
Yeah.
Well, at 14. So where are you working at in high school? Because you said you...
Well, I guess I was technically like 15, 16.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that I started kindergarten when I was 4 years old. So I graduated when I was 17. So when I was 14, I was in high school.
Okay.
So yeah, believe it or not.
I do. But I believe it.
I was like one of the last, I feel, or one of the last waves of children that got to start kindergarten at 4.
Do the early stuff.
I thought you were going to say you were one of the last of the Mohicans, but
no. I'm not that cool.
So you didn't go to college. Where were you working after school?
I have a very large resume.
Yeah? Yeah. Worked here for 2 weeks, worked here for 6 months.
You know, not as often as you'd think. It wasn't like that. I didn't like to hop around. I worked for a company called Nebraska Promotions. This is right after high school. I found an ad and I like went to this place, this really random ass warehouse in like West Omaha. And
you open the door and there's all these vacuums. Sell them.
Kirby's.
Were they?
Yes.
I knew it.
I was a Kirby salesperson for a year and a half.
Look at how it all ties
a
together.
A year and a half you did that?
I actually didn't sell them for a year and a half, but I did work there for a year and a half because I was a canvasser. I would knock doors, walk blocks and knock doors in small ass towns. And like that was my job, was like manipulating people into getting the salesmen into the house so that they could do their demonstration.
Wow.
And let me tell you, they demonstrate.
And they show do.
Yeah.
They sure do. And I had one come to my house in a snowstorm, like legit snowstorm. And we were like, well, this guy's gone house to house. We should just let him come in and warm up.
Right. Give him like cocoa.
We had pizza on the way. Mm. This dude comes in, does the whole spiel. Pizza gets there, continues his spiel. He's there for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Vacuuming the bed, showing us piles of dirt from different things. Got these little platters of things he's laying out everywhere on the floor in these dirts.
The pads.
Yeah, those things. And then like...
he was like, I know.
He bust out the black pads on your bed.
Yep. Sure did. And then like he was like, now what can I do to get you in one of these vacuums? Like, we can't afford this. We were just letting you in. He's like, all right, we'll give you, I will call my supervisor and see if we can get you a top secret deal. I don't want you to tell any of your friends that we're going to give you this price. And he called it. He's like, I got it okayed, blah, blah, blah. I was like, good God. He was there legit 2.5 hours.
Really working for the, you got to work for those sales. Dude. You That's do. How you make your dough.
But you know what?
But my pizza got cold.
Oh, shit. Did you buy the
You should have ate the pizza.
No.
Show Fuck did. You, Sam.
I was,
we have a question on the floor back there. Back
from the gallery. Morgan, yes?
All right, so you're telling me there's a fucking snowstorm going on.
Yeah.
And you invited this fucking guy in to show you. But you ordered fucking pizza?
We ordered it like 10 minutes before he got there.
In the snowstorm.
In the fucking snowstorm, though. You still ordered pizza during a fucking snowstorm.
Yeah, we didn't want to go out.
He's what...
People still gotta work and like make money. Like I get,
right? It's understandable.
There are people that are out there for that.
It's all perspective, Morgan.
As a person who works in blizzards, I appreciate the orders.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta work
because I gotta make money. I got 4 kids.
I mean, are we we gave that dude like a $25 tip too.
Yeah, see, that's what's up.
Well, that's
exactly.
Fair. That's why you couldn't afford the Kirby.
Well, apparently. I mean, we were getting that
I mean,
secret.
If you just budgeted it down, really. I mean, they could really spread it out to like 72-month plan.
Yeah,
you know?
He was like, I'll give you as low as I can go. I will give you $1,200. And we're like, I can't do it. He's like, all right, let me get my manager on the line. The top secret price. And I'm going to tell it to the entire podcast, Ron.
Kayla knows it. I bet Kayla knows
it. The Lost in Omaha top secret
Kirby price
$800.
Yes.
It would have been ours for eight. She knew it. She agreed.
Yes.
It would have been ours for $800.
For $800, and they'll take your vacuum as a trade.
Yep.
Yes.
That was another thing. That was the best part of the entire sale. The guy came upstairs and said, "Do you guys like liars?" And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Where's your vacuum at?" Or we're like, "Over there in the closet." Your vacuum is lying to you. And he takes our vacuum,
fuck you, vacuum
and puts it outside in the blizzard. And he says, now that we've got that taken care of, let me tell you about some truth.
Oh, my God. That's...
This is a fantastic salesman.
Oh, my God.
That is just gangsters.
Do you want to hear the pitch, the door pitch?
Yeah.
Okay,
I would love to.
Because I still know it.
Let's get it.
Now I got to think about this for a second. Now I put myself
hold on,
on
hold on. I'm sitting drinking my hot cocoa.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I hear, I'm like, oh man, what's going
Say
on?
Say hi. My name's Kayla with Nebraska Promotions, and we're out here in your neighborhood, you know, just like showing some products that we have to offer. Here's a free gift for you. We'd go to the Dollar Tree and like we'd get air fresheners, we'd get candles, all kinds of like fancy shit from the Dollar Tree to hand out to people that cost a dollar, so we could just be like, here's a gift. And then people are focusing on the gift.
Fucking sweet.
And then you're like, oh, so it only take a few moments of your time. Can you just wait here for me and like hold on to this? And like, so you give them the gift and like you run basically and you just sprint to the van and go grab a person and then pull them back up. And then they're so busy, like so confused. It's like a whole confusion thing. That's really what it is. Like you're really just shock and awing them into like letting a stranger into their home.
And we did.
Did you change your voice when you did it too?
I mean,
because your voice just literally went up 2 octaves.
Yeah, I'd be like, hi, my name's Kayla. I work for Nebraska Market like, Plus. Keeping in mind, I was 17, 18 at the time, so my voice was a little higher also.
I like to throw Kayla. Kayla's like the leadoff batter in the whole thing. Like, all right, we're gonna send a little cute Jewish girl up front where so no one's intimidated.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, and then on top of that, I learned how to do it in Spanish too.
Oh.
Because we would hit the South Omaha, not even South Omaha, but like you would not believe how many Hispanics are in small towns.
Sure.
And so it would be so funny. I would go to a small town in Iowa or somewhere just random because that's what we did. It was like literally every morning they'd basically pull a map out and like do, let me pick. I'm like here. And then they'd be like, okay, we're driving 2 hours today. Huh. And then so then we would drive out to this like random ass small town that hopefully doesn't have a sale, like a what do they call it? Peddling license restrictions. And so that we wouldn't get run out by the cops because that happened a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't if you don't have a permit, here. If you don't have a permit to sell, the sheriffs will like run you out and kick you out of town.
Facts.
Wow.
As a peddler. So,
a peddler.
Yes.
Smut peddler.
Yeah. Not that kind of peddler, but yeah. So,
great band. Great band.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so and that, so I learned how to do it in Spanish too, and they would be so confused. I'd come up to the door.
What
and,
is this white girl talking about?
Right.
Yeah, but they, you know, and they're like, they got really confused. No, they, I would do it in Spanish. They would they would answer the door, and I would just start my pitch in Spanish, and they were more confused because I was this little white girl,
right?
Like basically speaking fluent Spanish,
somebody
and they were like,
you've been hustling since you were a kid,
always hustling.
You're like built for hustling.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fantastic.
And then so I did that, and then I decided to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And get a real job at the casino.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Were you dealing cards or?
No, I was cocktail waitressing.
Nice.
But it, there was.
Tips galore.
Yeah, I made pretty, actually really good money there. So that was the first like actual job outside of high school that it was like I got a paycheck. I had benefits like because I worked for Horseshoe.
Okay.
And so it was like kind of a big girl job, but at the same time, like it was weird hours. I worked like 8 at night to 4 in the morning.
Right.
So
prime hustle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, especially when they would stop serving alcohol like 12:45.
Right.
People get a little
but
frosty.
But I still had to work until 4 a.m. I'm like, what am I doing here? What do they need me for?
While you're cocktail waitressing stuff, are you at this point doing slam poetry or?
Yeah,
at this point, almost. Yes and no. So I had, it was right about this time that I got introduced to Shoot Your Mouth Off open mic, which was at what is now the Lookout Lounge was then Shea Riley's Pub. And so I would go there underage as fuck. And I would go in and I would hang out on Tuesday nights. And I started doing poetry readings there.
What made you do that?
My cousin.
Weed cousin?
Yes. She was not always a bad influence. She did influence some very good things in my life, including Shoot Your Mouth Off, which was, it just really helped open me up artistically and socially. And I kind of grew up in that bar. I have a lot of nostalgic memories of like, and also some very sad memories that involve like Shea Riley's Pub and then becoming like
Hideout
yeah. and then becoming Lookout Lounge. Like there's a lot of emotion there. And I knew Dave Blackman when he was the door guy at Shea Riley's Pub.
Right.
So it was like, you know, just little things like that. The fact that I basically did grow up on that stage, literally grew up on that stage and still perform on that stage today. Like, it's awesome. It, not a lot of people can say that. And a lot of people can say that. So it's kind of a cool thing. But that's where I started doing poetry.
Did you have hesitation getting up to do it live in front of people?
I was very nervous. My cousin was a really good influence as far as, like, she really pumped me up and, like, wanted me to feel comfortable and whatever.
Was she doing it too?
She did. Okay. Yeah, she did do it too for a little bit. And then, so I did a really hardcore for a while. And then at this point, like, I was, like, I don't know. I had some really weird random friends, and I met this guy that was, like, stationed in Germany and wanted me to come visit. So, like, I flew to Germany when I was 19.
Oh,
really? By myself with $25 in my pocket.
Wow.
And you're a fucking adventurer.
I don't speak German. I can't read German. I don't know anything. Like, it was a crazy ass time. I have made some very rash decisions in my life. But so I did that and went to Germany for 10 days. And when I came back, I didn't have a job. Because I left on St. Patrick's Day, which Clancy's, that's like the biggest day of the year. And I was like, too bad, man. Like, I was like, I'm on a flight. Like, I was like, what do you want me to do? I'm already gone.
I'm over the
I'm in the over
I was
the Atlantic
gonna
right
go
now.
Celebrate in the motherland, but I got rerouted to Germany. No. But yeah, so I came back and I didn't have a job.
Now I know that you got into competition.
Yes.
I know this because of our interview with Pensive. I know that you guys were on a team or something like that. Tell me the story of how it led. Tell us a story how it led from where you're just doing the shoot your mouth off stuff to how you got on a...
So now I'm a competitor. Right. Now I'm going large, baby.
So I had been doing poetry for a while. For 3 years, I went dark. And then one day I was just like, fuck you, man. I need to be myself.
Yeah.
And like, I need to get out of my head, basically. And so, then I started going to poetry again and while I was still married and I met Pensive, and I thought he was super dope and we became fast friends. We were like best friends, for the longest time. And, yeah, I mean, we were on this slam team. One day they were like, Jim Morrison asked me if I wanted to be part of it was me and, Pensive and, my cousin and, there was a couple other, Dame Cardwell. There was a couple other people, but we decided that we were going to form a team. There was already an Omaha Slam team that met down at the Ohm Center.
And they got into an ATV accident?
No. Oh. But, yeah, so first Saturday of the month, I think they still do it, they at the Ohm Center downtown, they do like a... an open mic type thing where you can go and read poetry or you can compete sometime, and they have like a featured poet in between. And so I like started going to those and eventually I started participating and competing. And Justin Pensive actually went to he made the slam team. And I was very close to making the Omaha Slam team. I was like a runner up or like, I don't know. I missed it by like 1 point.
Right there, okay.
Or that's something, because it is scored. Like there's judges.
How does that work? How does one score poetry?
I mean, I guess it's really a lot of like personal preference on the judges.
Yeah.
But is it like 1 it's supposed
through
10? To be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a number scale for sure.
So it's like figure skating.
Yeah. So basically,
but with words
or diving.
Well, they
or
just
diving.
Yeah, they just take the scores and they drop the lowest and the highest score and average it out and and that's your score and so it was like I think I missed it by like 1 or 2 points. It was like very slim. So I was pretty upset about that. But at the same time, I was a young mom and like I had to think to myself like, am I really able to go travel to Boston to compete? Like, no. I am it was not something that I could even like conceive doing being a single mom. So I was like, don't be silly, you know. And
so
then
at
I,
that point did you hang it up at that point or
kind of I mean yeah. I really did kind of like I still did it. I still did poetry. I still wrote poetry. I got involved in a relationship and with someone else that was like close to the scene and close to Pensive, so like it wasn't, I don't know, it kind of just turned into like, I don't know, life just kind of took over again, you know. Right. I kind of just let it go. I just kind of hung it up and whatever. And I would still go out and do some things, and I would still, you know, go to, you know, the shoot your mouth off died eventually. Mm-hmm. And it moved from the hideout to another venue.
Shark Club.
Shark Club. There was another venue that was in Exarban Village. I can't even remember what it was called. It was so short term. But they bounced around to a couple different places, and it really just died there. And they tried to go back, and it just never was the same. So once that really, died, and then everybody started going to the Down Under. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday nights for Ali Peeler's open mic, which I have also attended, and I love that place. It's great. And the atmosphere is awesome, and they're very welcoming. But it just doesn't make sense for my schedule, and with having kids and stuff, it makes things difficult. So I just kind of slid back.
Well, and you kind of moved on to a different form of, you're able to express yourself in a different way now, because you were
now
rapping.
I do. Now I'm rapping, but I will tell you that, that was not my idea.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't my idea. It wasn't something that I was even considering. When Justin asked me to be on Stripe, that's not even something that I had even considered singing. I was at that time on top of working where I am working now, which is working at Hyatt. But I was also a KJ. I was a karaoke DJ for 4 years.
Yes.
So I developed my voice over time because
you're karaoke.
I had to entertain. Right. Right. Yeah. I had to entertain as a DJ, that's your job. You're being paid $100 a night or whatever to do this and entertain people. So if nobody's singing, guess what? You're singing. And I found that I had a talent for it. There was a lot of people that came up to me and said, why aren't you on The Voice? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you, you know.
Do karaoke.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So at that point I was okay. And I didn't really have any stage fright because of the open mic and mm-hmm. Shoot Your Mouth Off and the competitions and stuff. So that being uncomfortable, that uncomfortable feeling never really existed when it came to performing on stage with Justin, but it wasn't something I ever considered. And then he asked me if I would sing, and I was yeah, sure. And then I played such a small role on Straw IP, even though I did end up taking over a lot of the tracks. I did not. That
she
was
just
not
muscled
intentional.
Her way in there.
You did,
was,
that's what it is. You bully. See, bullying.
It's
I'm
fine.
Not a bully.
No, we're just fucking.
I feel
with you.
You're not the only people that have said
we're
that.
We're just
to
fucking.
Me.
With
I do
you.
Steamroll a little bit.
This is fine. So, how did you make the transition to be okay? Well, I was on this record.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want to do my own thing. Were you starting to get comfortable? This is cool. I like this.
I've not really put this into thought or words. At no point was I very vocal about wanting to do this.
Yeah.
It's kind of something that just came to be. It was, here are some beats from Danny O'Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Make something happen. Justin wanted to step out more and be more, you know, on the managerial side and being more behind the scenes, and I said, okay, but you're featuring on my first song.
Sure.
And so I still kind of forced him to be in on
Make
stage
him do stuff.
Still yeah. being a bully.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm not trying to be a bully. But I'm also not gonna allow him to hide his talent away. That's not fair. I mean, it's still there, and I know that he enjoys it too, so
right. He's a free bird.
He's an entertainer by far. So so yeah, and then it was kind of just I don't know, things just kind of started happening and the juices flowed. I wrote a couple songs and then I just started performing them.
Have you announced what the record's called? Or have you decided?
I think it's an EP is what it's going to end up being, and it's going to be called Not Modest.
How'd you come up with the name Modest K?
Oh, man. Mike Fantastic, you know this story.
I do.
He wants it out there.
Mike Fantastic picked my name, my stage name. It was, we were filming the Show Off music video, and I was wearing a dress, and it was very windy that day, and I was holding my skirt down, and Mike's like, why are you being so modest, Kay? And I was like...
Did I really do that?
You did. Yeah, that was...
What can I do?
Yeah, and so I've been modest Kay ever since.
That makes a lot of sense.
And I'm modest Kay not only... I'm modest Kay to... everyone, including my stepchildren.
What?
Yeah, they call me. Well, when
the girls call you modest K.
No, it's more like when Justin is like talking to the girls, and he'll be like, "Okay, now you need to listen to modest K," and I'm just like, I love it. You know, it's so adorable. But they just like, I don't know, they get all bashful and they like turn red and blush and stuff, and they're so cute about it. But yeah,
I think that rapping moms, I think that's how it is, because Lily does that to me still. Yeah. She's like, oh, look, we're gonna listen to some Letitia Gore. And she like, stares me right in the face when she does it.
Yeah.
What do your kids think about this? They think
pretty cool? Yeah, my kids are our biggest fans.
That's awesome.
Yes. Caden knows every word to every song.
Boy, does he.
He does.
Best hype man in the business.
He is the best hype man. He loves
Morgan was pissed. Like, oh, we're on stage. God. Morgan is like, what is going on?
You can't be jealous of a 10-year-old.
This kid is killing it.
But he is, because he doesn't have a smile on his face right now. He's just pissed.
I felt like I got in trouble with Justin that night, too. Because we're just like, Caden, you want to come up here? And he's like, yes. And then we just let him go batshit the whole time. And
he's
like,
just such a free spirit.
I saw a video of it, and I heard Justin in the back. I'm like, CPS is coming to my house tomorrow. And I'm like, God, no.
Oh, that's funny. I know. It was quite a conversation with his teachers last year.
Oh, yeah. That would have been fun.
Because he... You know, we listen to hip hop and we don't censor. We are very bad about censoring.
Kids got to live life.
Well, and that's kind of like, I'm kind of like, you know, you're going to learn it, you know, whatever. But he dropped the N-bomb at school.
Oh, that's
and
a
his
big
teacher
one.
Was black.
Oh.
And she was like, so I just wanted you to know. And I was like, oh my God, mortified. I was like, we don't say that in our house. We don't talk like that. Like,
was he rapping?
No, I don't know if he was or not. He said, I can't even remember exactly like what the context was, but
I kind of remember getting this IM in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, guess what?
Pretty sure we
did.
Were, yeah, we were just like, I don't know. He must have been like singing a song and dropped it. And I'm just like, oh my God. And
Oops.
So, but she was also very understanding too. She's like, I know it's in rap. And like, she's like, I get it. And she's like, I know you guys do hip hop, because he would brag about us at school.
Right. Because yeah.
That's awesome.
My mom and dad rap. Like, you know.
I was on stage last night. What were you suckers doing?
Yeah.
See, you know,
he's like, my parents got shows tonight. What are your parents doing?
Lily, that happened with Lily. the N-word.
Oh, really?
She was very young. She had to be like 7 or 8, and we were down here, and I was watching like a 50 Cent interview or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was just going off. I think it was the one where I don't know if you ever saw the one where he's like, Floyd, I'll give you $10,000 if you can read three pages out of a Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
And he dropped it, and Lily's like, what is an N? And I'm like, oh never say that.
Oh, geez.
Stop.
Yeah, never say that word. It's not stop. Even, don't even think that word.
I'm like, that's all there is to it. But yeah, so I guess, like, I understand the accidental non-censoring of, like, hip-hop life that we all live.
And being like, you know, what's funny is that, like, in my professional life, it didn't used to be this way, but I'm like very open about the fact that I'm a rapper, and like I try to invite like my coworkers to come to our shows and stuff, and like I'm super more like open about it now. But I remember when in the beginning I was kind of shy about it.
Oh, I still
because
am.
Like
I
as
don't
a
tell
professional
anybody.
As a professional, like I do work for like a major company, and
right.
like
yeah.
so I have like very high like VPs and stuff in our building all the time, and so even the fact that, like, I just color my hair crazy and, like, have tattoos is, like, you know, they allow that stuff. But at the same time, it's just, like, that's a whole side of me that they don't know.
Right.
And, but now I'm, like, way more open about it. And I'm just, like, yeah, I'm, like, dropping an album. Check me out. Like, I'm trying to pimp myself out now. I'm, like, hey, like, no shame in my little, like, self-promotion here. So.
So you've really developed as a performer.
Yeah.
Your most recent performance was excellent.
Thank you.
You've mentioned that you want an army of bitches behind you.
I do.
Which
someday.
I really like this. So, like Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation shit, or what?
Hell yeah. Like,
that should be gangster's
fuck. Yeah.
Is there anything that you, since you've started performing, what has been your fondest, like, what's your favorite show that you've done so far? Because it's still a few. You're still kind of newer.
I've done, well, my best experience so far was probably touring to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that was something completely different. And it was, we were really just throwing ourselves out there to a completely, like, they had no idea who the fuck we were.
Right.
And, like, it just, getting that little taste of, like, touring was neat. At the same time, we are homebodies. So, like, the idea of touring is, like, fun and enticing, but also terrifying because we are hermits and we like to stay in our home.
Right. And the babies are there.
And the babies are there. Yeah. It was off. That was, like, the hardest part was being away from the kids. So
it's all that balance. You got to balance
it. I know.
It.
It is hard being an artist and a parent. It's hard balance.
It is.
I recommend the documentary Adult Rappers if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
You guys should. Yeah,
it's for free on YouTube.
Yeah, you guys should both watch Adult Rappers.
Adult Rappers is an amazing documentary.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Plus, you find some good music on there. Yep. There's good tunes. Good. Well, Kayla, it has been a lovely pleasure.
Yes.
We've learned a lot of new things. You're a fucking diver.
Yeah.
That's neat.
And I.
You went to Germany on a whim.
I
on
did.
A whim.
Yes.
And you killed someone with an ATV?
I didn't kill. I'm innocent. I just made a threat.
Until proven guilty.
I could have gotten in trouble, so much trouble, just for threatening her.
You were lost. But hopefully, now, you've been found.